We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is the Dale and Keith Show.
How do you feel about Michael Bennett with the Patriots so far?
Michael Bennett has now been suspended for one game.
Ready for the hot take?
What's the hot take?
He doesn't finish the year with the team.
Dale Arnold.
So you think right now Jimmy Garoppolo is a better quarterback than Tom Brady?
Yes.
And why are the reasons?
The eye test.
You, my friend, are a boo.
He's hot. Hotter than Jimmy G.
Rich Keith.
Dale, step off.
Bob,
stay in your lane.
Bob,
yeah, step off,
Bob,
Dale.
I gotta ask. Bob.
Heartfelt goodness. Middays.
You lost your car, or would you run out of gas?
80 miles.
I got it. You're like an hour and 20 minutes in Santa Fe.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know that sports talk radio is not a negative medium, so I hate to start when did that become a thing? It's fake news.
Oh.
But I hate to start that way.
Yeah.
But I feel we need to get this out of the way because there have been aspersions cast both afternoon drive,
night,
and morning drive, and I think we need to address some of this stuff.
That's three of the four shows.
Well,
what about our show?
The only ones that we're not on. So let's just get this out of the way right now.
Yeah.
Did you break the door?
Me?
No, Wiggy. Oh.
No, that, what's his face?
Did you break the door?
No.
It was broken when we got in here yesterday.
Right. We have a broken door. But to be fair to Wiggy, so the studio door is broken. Right. There were maybe 185 people yesterday in here.
Yeah,
so
but how many of them are strong enough to break it besides him?
Gronk. Well, let's just go right to the.
We don't know if the door handle was already, you know, broken and somebody actually just pulled it and it came off. But to insinuate like Glenn Ordway did, that I was the
reckless,
one that did it,
and Mutt and Fitzy,
right? And they all blame me, right?
Why is that? Pointed fingers.
It is. This is like
right
an episode
at you.
Of Clue.
Right.
It's a whodunit, and I love a whodunit. Right. We need to solve this.
But
dusting for fingerprints, useless, because everybody touches the door.
1,000 people touched it yesterday.
That's no good. Somebody has to be strong enough, unless over time, the handle got weaker and weaker and weaker, and then anybody could just come in and...
Well, there were plenty of cameras in here. Yeah. Go back to the video footage.
That's a good point.
But they weren't pointed in that direction.
Well, there was one over there. Who knows?
Yeah, we got to get something.
But why my name?
I don't know.
Out of all the people that were in here.
I think I know why Wiggy thinks his name.
Go ahead and say it.
I'm not saying anything. All I know is I'm going to be reaching out to my boy Larry the lawyer.
Yeah, you're going to have to call him.
I thought he was Greg's friend. Why is he going to represent you?
Well, Larry the lawyer. He gonna hook your boy up.
You might need his help.
Defamation.
Yeah.
I'm suing everybody.
Oh, I like
this
that. Countersue. Yeah,
everybody countersue.
That's smart.
For $1 billion.
You get out.
So the money you're going to get from that, I mean, obviously you're going to win there. And then, obviously, the money you're going to get from your presidential candidate with the reparations. I mean, you are going to be rolling in it.
Rolling in the dough, man. They don't pay me enough here, so I got to start suing mofos.
That's smart. That's smart. So we have to do the show, The Door Open, now? Is that what it is?
Yes.
Like, it's any town, USA. Leave the door open.
Apparently,
come on in.
You know, just come on through the door because Wiggy broke it.
I don't think, Wiggy, I'm not saying that.
No, that's what I've heard for three straight shows since you left here.
Right here, I did not break the door. Yeah. I'll take a lie detector test right now.
Bring it in. Bring the lie detector
in. That's all right. Everybody going to hear from my lawyer.
Yep, Larry.
Larry.
Yeah.
Larry the lawyer.
I know. I understand.
I think his last name is Lawyer.
Yeah, I think so. As far as we know, that's all we got on him.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah.
So Wiggy's texting into the show now.
What do you say?
On the text machine, it says the black guy did it. It's
that's ridiculous.
There.
I mean, you
that's terrible.
It's not, I mean, it's either me or Christian, right? And the Christian's
Well, no,
only,
it was broken before Christian got here.
Well, it got broke
the
somewhere.
The only two black guys here, and he's 1/16th black. Isn't that what he said before?
Well, I think he said, I think he's sort of like
he sort of thinks he's everything.
Like a potpourri.
He's like The Rock. We really never know
what
he is.
No idea.
Or Tiger. When Tiger was, Cablasian or something?
And that's why you have the Dave Chappelle when they have the draft.
Right.
And then there he was.
So it's like, well, it could be Christian, but we can't really tell what
he is. It got broken between 9:30 and 10 yesterday, right?
It was broken when we came
in. When we walked
at 10:20, it was broken.
fought through everybody like salmon upstream, and we finally got into the studio. We had a broken doorknob. So there you go.
No, I did not break it. So Glenn Ordway started. That's fake news.
Yep.
Well, I did see some video last night that Lucy posted where it appeared that Mutt, in his attempt to fix the door, made it worse.
Oh, I don't doubt that. Yeah, I don't doubt
that. I mean, I saw it because it was broken yesterday, but at least the door handle was on.
It was usable.
You could get in and out.
It's unusable now.
When Lucy, I left
Lucy
here, it was
posted
fine.
Video of, you know, Mutt taking the door handle right off.
I don't like that.
Yeah, when I left, it was fine. When I left, it was 100% fine. The door handle was still on.
So we're all good then, as far as you're concerned.
I'm good. Okay. I'm good. All right. But all the fake news out there, Dale, don't believe it. It's all fake news. Yeah, it is definitely harmful. Yeah. It's harmful to my reputation.
It is. It is.
And it gives him the sads.
It should. Because you got that many people pointing the finger at you?
Civil suit coming.
I think you should.
And a Con's way.
Another one?
How many grievances are you going to file?
I'm filing 15 grievances.
Well, I heard him yesterday when he was on with Greg and those guys saying that what has to happen is that Antonio Brown has to sue the NFL for $1 billion.
You got
to
get their attention
maybe
somehow.
Maybe more, he said, but at least a billion.
Start with a billion, like Dr. Evil style.
But all kidding aside, doesn't he have to do something, you know, in order for him to get the answer that he's ultimately going to need?
What he should have done in the beginning.
But
pay the ladies.
Yeah, but we're past
that.
Well,
not if he didn't do it.
Right.
I wouldn't pay somebody if I didn't do it.
That'd be like them telling me to fix the
door. Yeah, to pay for the door. Like,
I'm not paying for it.
Fix the door, Wiggy. I mean, got your toolbox with you?
Yeah, well, no, they want me to pay for it. I'm not paying for the door. I didn't do it.
Well, I shouldn't.
So apparently, based on how things go around here, that door is going to be broke for a long time.
Until we move out of here. So they have to fix it so they can sell the place. That'll be about it.
So that when the incoming buyer of the building does the walkthrough and says, there's a broken door here.
This is nice,
we'll take care of that for you.
I had a guy who come in and fix that door for $50.
I bet you
do. He'd be here in 30 minutes if you really want the door handle fixed.
You got to have a guy.
I got a guy.
You always got to have a guy. That's good.
They come in and that thing, you hit a button and it'll open.
So because you're the guy, our connection to the NFL played at the highest level, heard you talking with Greg and Fitzy and Danielle about, you know, the numbers you had in the snow game and all that stuff. Have you ever had a philosophical disagreement with your position coach?
Yeah. I mean, maybe not out loud, but I've definitely been.
So you've never said to a position coach, man, why aren't I getting more balls? Or, you know, aren't you using me differently than that?
I've done that before. I've done that before.
See, that would constitute a philosophical disagreement to me.
So then, I think
I'm not being utilized correctly.
Yeah.
But then it goes back to, okay, we're having a conversation about how I should be used, but where does it go from there? What is his thought process to me about what I'm supposed to be doing in the
offense? You have hit the nail on the head for me. This was not a, hey, Brett, how come I'm only playing 11 plays?
Right.
This was not that.
No, this is, I got to take on double teams, and I got to stand here and line up over the tackle or
those
over the guard.
Those conversations happen all the time. I mean, as you said, discussions between
the guys
players
who play
and
their
coaches.
Roles. They want to know, hey, listen, I think I could do more. Why is my role this? Especially with your position coach, because that's the guy that you tend to have the closer relationship with, and you're hoping that he can now, you know, take it up the food chain. But when you get a guy who gets suspended for, you know, kind of not being on the same page, the philosophical difference.
What do you have to do to get suspended?
You need to insult him with some salty language. Mm-hmm. You need to
threaten to punch him.
Yeah, you need to make it personal. Right?
You don't have to physically punch him.
No.
That would get you more than a game, probably.
Yeah.
I think though that there was insults.
Could be pushing and shoving though.
Maybe a little bit. Maybe somewhat physical.
You're talking about two alpha dogs.
Yeah. It could be something like that. But again, it's got to be. You got to sort of cross a certain line because I know Tom Brady plays by a different set of rules, but we've seen Tom Brady on the sideline screaming at Josh McDaniels, screaming at Bill O'Brien. And you say, okay.
And guys had to come in between them.
Right. And that's competitive guys trying to figure it out. Right. There's always going to be some of that. So it has to go even further. And
exactly.
That's why,
he did more than just yell at his position coach.
Right. Yeah. He called him out. And we know how, if Greg Schiano was still here, this would have happened week one. Because Michael Bennett hates Greg Schiano. He made that very clear. He would insult him every time he was brought up. And we were wondering how that was going to work out. And then it didn't have to because Greg Schiano decided not to take the job. But at one point, those two were going to overlap. And now, you know, so Brett Bielema gets an opportunity to coach Michael Bennett. And that group of defensive tackles, and they play a whole bunch of them, defensive tackles, ends, whatever. They play a whole bunch of those guys, and Michael Bennett is not happy with what's going on. And maybe, you know, Brett Bielema said something to him to, like, you know, listen, this is what the role is, and then he comes
maybe
back
it
at
was,
him. And,
you know, we're 6-0, and everybody's doing their job. Maybe you need to just do your job.
Yeah, it could be as simple as that, and then he fires back at him. And
here's what I – if this is being in there – in that locker room and being in locker rooms before, here's kind of the way I see it playing out for him to get suspended. So this is something that's probably been building up for a couple of weeks.
As his playing time, snaps have gone down and down and down.
And so then I got to ask, okay, I know this. So now he's frustrated. He's upset. What's his behavior like in meetings? Is he kind of at the point of like, man, I ain't listening to this. Feet up, ain't paying attention.
Yeah, right.
On his cell phone. And, you know, Brett Bielema was like, pay attention. Man, whatever. You know, does it get to that point? Whatever. Then maybe that starts to build a little bit. Then it gets to the head where Brett Bielema says something to Bennett or Bennett says something to him, and now it's okay, boom, we popping off. Brett Bielema steps up and says, this is why, whatever, whatever. Michael Bennett says, I've been in this league, blah, blah, blah. And that's where now it becomes a shouting match, and we're back and forth, and it's MF of this and you that. It's not just say, hey, I don't agree with what you're doing here. Is there any way we can figure this out?
May I express my disappointment in the number of snaps I've been getting?
And what's interesting is Michael Bennett's statement when he used the one that used the term philosophical disagreement, but he also ended it with, I apologize to my teammates for any distraction this may have caused, which leads me back to thinking that Wiggy's right about in the meeting room. Now all of a sudden you're spending time where instead of watching film, in front of all these other guys, you're screaming at the coach, and you guys are having a back and forth, and these guys are sitting there waiting for it to be like, all right, can we get on with it?
And then it's like, then the other thing you have to look at it, because what happens is the dynamic in the NFL or any professional sports league, it's who now is trying to big boy the other, right? So is Brett Bielema trying to make Michael Bennett say, I'm the coach here.
All right.
I'm the one you need to bow down, or is Michael Bennett going, you're not going to big boy me. You know how much money I make? I've been in Pro Bowls and this, that, and the other.
Right.
So now that is the issue that then.
I don't believe that Brett Bielema or any other coach on Bill Belichick's staff is going to do this. You got to bow down to me.
Well, it's not about
bow
down.
I think Greg Schiano would have.
But he's not here.
No, I know he's not.
But I don't think it's not necessarily like bow down, but it's somebody has to.
You know, Brett Bielema is conveying the message from the top.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows who's the head guy here, and especially on the defensive side of the ball this year. There is nothing happening on the defensive side of the ball that isn't orchestrated by the head coach of the football team.
How many times in the last 20 years can you guys remember a player getting suspended for an altercation with a coach on the Patriots?
On the Patriots.
Yeah. Has it ever happened?
I do not remember.
Has it ever happened? Right.
And I can't even remember just a player in the league. Think about that. And think about how many blowouts we've seen where a player has been suspended for.
Yeah, no, that I think I remember. We could probably look that up. I feel like, again, it's rare. But it's definitely rare, but I feel like it probably has happened. But so think about that. Like, that had to be so much past just a disagreement. And it's a coach who has some experience here. He was sort of with the team before, but he's certainly not a long tenured guy. It's not Dante Scarnecchia. It's not one of those guys.
Ivan Fears.
McDaniels, right? It's not one of those guys. But then it's also a guy who was year one with the Patriots and clearly is not happy with his role. Like, he was already trying to censor himself a little bit by saying, oh, yeah, I got the zero role. And then he kind of joked about it because the defense is the best in the league and the team is 6-0. So,
and like, by the way, the guys who are playing when he's not playing
are playing very well.
Look great.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, I usually am very pro player when it comes to things like this. Mm-hmm. But guess what? The team is so good right now, and that side of the ball particularly is so good that you don't really have as much. Now, if this team was 3-3 and couldn't get a pass rush going, and they're still not using Bennett, then I'd be like, "Well, Bennett's right."
But if he's not in this case. But if he was performing well early, you're like, "Why are they not using him?" Every time he gets an opportunity, he's making plays. But you brought up the point where you said it in the intro, you don't see him being here.
No, I definitely don't.
And I think this is going to start that process. Because,
well, 100%. Let me play Michael Bennett defender here, okay, for the sake of argument.
Go ahead.
The Patriots signed Bennett
before
Jamie Collins gets released.
Okay.
So Jamie Collins gets picked up by the Patriots, a team that was almost a 4-3 team over half the time last year. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden they get Collins and they go, well, wait a minute now. know, maybe 3-4. Look at what we got for personnel here.
Mm-hmm.
So they changed the dynamics under which Bennett thought he was signing here.
Well, no, he got traded here. So he was
traded here.
So he may not even want to come here, for all we know. So that was out of his hands.
But he came here with the expectation, and I'm sure they even told him, you know, we played 4-3 over half the time. This is the position you're going to be playing. This is what we're... And then all of a sudden, Collins comes in. Everything changes.
Well, then, I don't think Collins is the one guy that changed their system. When you look at...
Aren't they playing a lot more 3-4 because of him?
Well, I think they're playing it because of the linebacker position. When you look at the
Bentley's
front
healthy,
seven...
But he wasn't last year.
When you look at the front seven, defensive linemen and linebackers, they are a defense that is more conducive to play a style of moving guys around because they have guys that can fit into those roles. They have guys that can do multiple things, line up on the edge. With Michael Bennett, and Rich and I talked about this on the NFL Sunday show, he's limited in what he does because he's a guy that keeps his hand on the ground. And when we've seen him in the past, he's always been wide and outside the tackle. But now when we see him most of the time, he's inside the tackle, whether he's lined up over a guard or he's lined up in the A gap or the B gap, wherever it is. So he's in a different style than he's used to playing.
Right. He's just taking on blocks.
But he doesn't have, in their mind, he doesn't have the ability to go, okay, you know what? We can do with you, Bennett. We can stand you up on the edge and put you where we've seen Chase Winovich or we've seen Calhoun and just rush you off the edge.
So Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, you know, brought up the point that this is the sort of thing, it is pretty unusual. I mean, Antonio Brown sort of got suspended for the last game of the season last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he said he wanted to play. They said, no, don't bother, that sort of thing.
I guess
I mean, without maybe using the term, they in effect suspended him.
Yeah.
So it doesn't happen often.
No.
Is it possible that normally this is the sort of thing that the Patriots say, see you later, you got to go. But there's a couple of things at play here. If you're a vested veteran, which he is,
mm-hmm.
and you're released before the trade deadline, before the trade deadline, you cut him.
Mm-hmm.
He instantly becomes a free agent, can go anywhere, like Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
like New Orleans, you know, like yada, yada,
Houston.
Yada. Yeah. After the trade deadline, that same guy's got to go through waivers
yes.
if they cut him.
Yeah, now usually the worst teams have first dibs of picking guys up.
But he would still, in my mind, he would still land on a pretty good team, because if you were a bad team right now, what would you want with a 33-year-old Michael Bennett? Would that help you?
Well,
not
necessarily a bad team, but a team that thinks, like the Rams just went out and made this blockbuster deal for Jalen Ramsey. They think, evidently, this is the move that puts them back in Super Bowl contention. I disagree with them, but there are teams out there who think, you know what? We got him.
Well, no. But that team makes, like I'm saying, if the Dolphins or the Bengals or the Broncos.
Well, they're not.
That's what I'm saying. But if
but
it goes
a team
to
that's,
team,
the Vikings or, you know,
you can only block
the Lions. Exhibit A. Their defense got some issues. You know, they're sort of in a playoff push here.
Well, could you trade him?
Sure.
I think
and
he
that's
still has
the,
trade value.
The thing out there now is trade him for Danny Amendola.
You know what? I don't hate it. I don't hate
it at all.
Yeah,
I mean, that works.
Because you're probably
Amendola is a guy that comes in. He knows the system. You know what he could do.
Yeah.
Is he playing yet? Because he was hurt for a long
time.
Yeah, he was playing
Monday night. He had a couple catches Monday night. But I don't think they use him a ton over there. So,
but, I mean, that one obviously doesn't wow you. Because like, we've been talking about, you know, Diggs and Sanders and Green for
so long.
But
to, like, trade him to Atlanta for Mohamed Sanu, for example, why would Atlanta want him? Because they're a team that's wanting.
And I know Dan Quinn coached him in Seattle, but what's the point?
He has to go to one of those teams that maybe they're like teetering around having a wild spot.
And Detroit has actually got a better record than I thought they would through five games. So if you did send him there, I think Patricia could use him on his defense. I still think it's not like Bennett's cooked in my mind. It's just what they're asking him to do is not very glorious, and now he's just doing it less and less. So if you're using a guy for 11 plays, and it's trending to be even less, so if he wasn't suspended for this, so you know he's not playing against the Jets on Monday. Even if he did, my guess is, based on how things have gone, he's going to play 8 plays anyway. So if you're going to cut him, or you're going to flip him to a team, and by the way, sending him to Detroit does exactly what you were talking about, Dale. Keeps him away from Kansas City, Houston, teams that you're going to face in the AFC playoffs.
Or theoretically, if you wanted to really put him in purgatory, you deal him to some has-been team in the NFC for a sixth-round draft pick. You get a couple of million dollars in salary cap relief, which allows you to go out and pursue a wide receiver.
But I think that's what Detroit is.
And you
is.
Keep him. In, right. Well, and I'm thinking even worse than that. But, yeah, maybe
but I just think Detroit is kind of on that line where they would want him.
Right.
I think that the has-been NFC team.
They don't want him.
Well, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense because he's got another year in his contract. I don't know what
and
all
how
the guarantees
much would you have
are,
to pay him. You'd have to pay him. Yeah. You know, why would we want to pay this guy?
You wouldn't.
You know, more money. Who's older? When maybe there's a couple younger guys that we want to see through the remainder of the season. We know we're not going to go to the playoffs. He's more suitable for a team that's a bubble playoff team, or maybe even a team that is a playoff team that needs some help on the defensive line position, where they're going to come in here and say, "Hey, listen. You're going to get snaps, and you're just going to go after and rush the passer."
I think if you look at it from his perspective or from the Patriots' perspective about him, I think Rich may have been a little prescient here. I don't think he plays again here now. I think that they are playing this out, trying to figure out, do we wait till the trade deadline to waive him?
Right.
So that he's got to cut him, so he's got to go through waivers. Mm-hmm. Do we trade him somewhere? I don't picture that. You know, the game after the Jets game, it's okay, he's back. We're all set to go. He's going to be just as pissed off about his role. The other thing that won't sit well with the Patriots is the little release that he made to ESPN, where he apologized to his teammates for any distraction. He didn't mention Brett Bielema, did he?
No, I don't think. I don't think he would apologize to him. I think he probably feels like he's still correct.
And I don't think Belichick likes it at all because Brett Bielema is the conduit.
Right.
Right.
The decision comes from the top.
Right.
He's not going to yell at Bill, so he's going to yell at Brett, but it's Bill who's making the decision.
And we know how Bill operates. You know, he operated like this when I played, and he still operates like this today. He doesn't want any guy in that locker room that could potentially split the locker room or maybe, you know, throw like a bad spoil in people's minds and that kind of. We've seen him do it with Jamie Collins, right? He shipped Jamie Collins out because he kind of felt like Jamie Collins wanted to do his own thing, and that could potentially bleed off into other players, and then there'd be, hey, there's this divide between some of the players and the coaches. So Bill does not want that. And ultimately, he knows that, hey, let's trade this guy. There's no need to keep him around because he's going to continue to be an issue, and he's played a long time in the NFL. It's not like he's a third-year player who goes, okay, whew, I got to be careful. He's a guy who played 10 years and like, you know what, I'll keep creating a problem.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll give you option two. Michael Bennett used to play for Dan Quinn.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Quinn's in Atlanta.
That's what I just
defense
said.
Defense is struggling.
Yeah.
There's your Mohamed Sanu guy. Huh.
Yeah, but Atlanta, why would Atlanta want a...
Right, because Dan Quinn probably going to get fired.
Right. So,
he might not be there long.
They're like, hey, let's get Michael Bennett. They're like, I wouldn't make any plans here, Dan.
And then they're 1-5.
Yeah,
and it's
they're
just
bad.
Like, they got no chance of making the playoffs. Why would you want that? They probably have some other young guys there. They'd rather say, hey, let's play some of these young guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And see what they could do for us next year.
I was just trying to get you your Sanu deal made.
But I don't even think you need to trade.
No,
Bennett,
you could trade like a low pick for him.
Yeah, to get Sanu. I think you can get Sanu anyways.
All right, here's the schedule for today. We're going to talk Boston Bruins at 10:45 today, and we've got Bruins tickets to give away at the same time. So that's coming up at about 4:45. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, will join us just after 1 o'clock, as he does every Wednesday. Wiggy's in the house as well. We'll get to the calls with you at 617-779-7937. Rich Keefe, right again. Michael Bennett probably has played his last play for the Patriots.
I'm on a hot streak.
Yeah.
As a lot of things
to,
right.
You're as firing to on some all guys on the other doing, side of the glass who are not on a heater right now, but you are, thankfully.
9-1 first week of the podcast.
Podcast. Don't be afraid to bring some of that stuff on the air because you ain't 9-1 on the air.
I was 2-2, okay?
Oh, wow.
All right. Stay
feeling better about
and
life,
got,
are you?
I got hosed by
oh,
the
here we go.
You did, got, to be fair, you got hosed by the refs. You spent a lot of time.
Difference between 3-1 and 2-2.
Yeah,
I understand.
It's supposed to be heartfelt goodness today, jeez.
No, it's not.
Shime, if you did have Detroit, you did definitely. You didn't get hosed all the way. You didn't get porked all the way.
Goosed and pork.
Porked all the way.
Cooked.
But Detroit would have had an opportunity to come down and kick a game-winning field goal.
Exactly. So, if they missed the field goal, then they missed the field goal. Yeah. But they deserved that opportunity.
Yes, they definitely did that.
We'll get to the calls with you in just a couple of minutes. First, we've got a trend.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
I like Amendola. I like the way that sounds. He's not doing much for Detroit. They don't necessarily need him there, and he's costing them a penny. And I think they need pass rush help as well. Obviously, Patricia, Bob Quinn, they know Bill Belichick very well. So I like the Bennett for Amendola swap. That sounds good to me.
I'd take it. I would take. I think every Pats fan would sign up for that yesterday.
Yeah, it makes sense for both teams. The money works. It helps both teams. You potentially get a problem out of your locker room here. You don't know what Michael Bennett's going to do. So I think that sort of swap makes a lot of sense.
It was Ben Bolden on with Greg Hill earlier this morning. You heard him talking to Fitzy. To his point, first weekend of the season, that was the dreaded 27-27 tie with Arizona. Danny Amendola was targeted 13 times, 7 catches, 104 yards, and a touchdown. You're thinking, wow, this guy's going to put up monster numbers.
That was it.
In the 3 games he's played since, he's been targeted once, 5 times, and once.
Yeah, he's not a big factor in that offense anymore.
Missed
at
some
all.
Time in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he missed a couple of games, or he missed, what, 1 game? But still, it makes sense because I think you're just going to cut Bennett anyway. And so if you just swap Bennett for Amendola, you could still be in the mix for something else, right? Couldn't you still add a receiver? You could still add a tight end, or you could still do something. That may not be the only move, but it also gives you a guy who you know fits in, because that's still the question with some of the players, too. Like, if they come in, are they going to be able to pick it up on the fly? Are they
especially
going to be
able to do stuff? Especially at that position, and
yeah.
Brady.
Yeah, so I think you bring him in here, and he's one of those guys, and we saw it for years. He's probably not going to put up great numbers in the regular season, but all of a sudden, come playoff time, he catches a couple of big passes, and that's all you need.
Wiggy, where's he playing? With Julian, where's he playing if he was on this team?
We mean positionally wise?
Yeah, with Amendola, because you've got Edelman, I think he'd be the best slot guy in the league.
He'd be on the other side, and you'd work him in a glorified tight end slot position where, you know, when you think about the slot position, usually you got Edelman on one side and then you got the tight end working the seams and working the kind of the other side of inside the numbers. So you'd have two of those guys. But to go back to Rich's point, the other guy that I've been high on, and maybe you can get Amendola and still do this, is O.J. Howard, the tight end down in Tampa
Bay. Now you're adding an actual tight end with another receiver that you feel a little bit good about. Just the depth is there.
Unless they feel Ben Watson can maybe do that.
Because also, I mean, Philip Dorsett's dealing with an injury. Josh Gordon's dealing with an injury. And I think also as far as where Amendola would play, first of all, they played together a lot.
Right.
But also, Tom Curran's been talking about this a lot. He's going to join us at 1. But sounds like the Patriots want Edelman to play more on the outside anyway. And then so now if you bring in Amendola,
try to keep him alive.
Yeah, a little bit. Probably take away a few less hits throughout the year. And then you can put Amendola there if you want. You can move him around. It doesn't really matter.
But you can
matter.
Have them both on. One on one slot and the other one on the other slot. And they could work the middle of the field and work their routes. Because when you look at the routes that they run, you know, I'm not going to get too, you know, into the weeds with you on route names and route combinations, but they just work the inside of the field, whether it's outbreaking routes, inbreaking. And you could do that with two guys just on, you know, opposite sides. And Brady would look at the coverage and go, okay, I can work Edelman's side of the field, or I can work Amendola, and I'm comfortable with working him on first down with the little quick screens or the, you know, little zone man breaking routes.
I assume at this point the Patriots are probably trying to trade Michael Bennett,
yes,
I'm assuming.
I would think so.
I'm guessing that's their first choice, and they're trying to figure out a fit and trying to find somebody who will give them something. My guess is it's going to end up being some draft pick instead of a player like Amendola or Howard.
But still better. I mean, what did they trade for him? A fifth-round pick? So if you just get your fifth back, or maybe you take a sixth or whatever, just kind of cut your losses and move on. Because, again,
and get some cap relief.
And you're not getting really any production. Again, not that he's been bad, but what you're asking him to do, you have other guys on the team that can do it and do it just as well, or if not, at times better.
He's playing 11 plays.
Yeah.
You can find Dedrick Wise. You take his 11 plays and you spread them out
Winovich. Shalik Calhoun gets
Calhoun.
A few more. Yeah.
That's what you'll end up happening, and you'll trade him, and if you get a fifth or a sixth round back, now you have the potential problem of a headache out of your locker room.
In fact, when they made the trade, they got a seventh. So they basically just moved down in the draft to bring in Michael Bennett. Like one of those trades that they've been doing now for a long time where they just sort of give you a pick, but they also get a pick back.
Right.
Right. And then you get the player. And so if they get rid of him, it's really no harm done. Although I guess you would question, you know, when they did bring him in, I assume they thought they were going to use him more than they have.
Yeah.
And then things absolutely have sort of changed, right? And I mean, you wouldn't have brought him in because you knew he was a big personality to begin with. Like, this thing with him and the coach is not surprising at all.
But I don't think that's the issue. Like, the issue wasn't the personality with Michael Bennett.
But I'm saying if you knew you weren't going to play him a ton, I don't think you would have risked bringing
him in. But I don't think they went into a goal. I don't think they went into it and signed it and going, oh, we're only going to play this guy 30%
of the snaps. That's what I'm saying. They didn't. They definitely didn't think that.
Yeah, they felt like, all right, he would be a big contributor. He'd be somewhere around, and I compare the role to Chris Long when Chris Long was here a couple years ago, where Chris Long played. He played a decent amount.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe he just wasn't as productive as you thought he was going to be. And then you have other right. guys that are now being that are a lot more productive. And you don't look at it and go, you know what? Hey, he doesn't have to be on the field. We got other guys that can get on the field.
Exactly. So Mike Reese broke it down game by game. Michael Bennett's usage. Opening night, Steelers. He's starting on the defensive front. He plays 39 of 69 snaps, and you're saying, okay, this is what they're going to do.
He played what? That's equals 55%?
Yeah.
That's the most he's ever played.
Game number two against the Dolphins, 25 of 62 snaps. Game three against the Jets, 19 of 51. Bills, 24 of 83. Redskins, 15 of 59, and the Giants 11 of 50.
Yeah, it's just arrow down.
For the season, he's played 133 of 374 defensive snaps, 35.6%.
It's on the decline every single week. It's amazing. Every single week, there's no like little blip.
Right.
It's just a straight arrow down, and now it's going to be zero snaps on
way
Monday.
Down there.
It's going to be zero coming up.
And think about this, because sometimes people don't really know the percentage angle. They think, 30%, that ain't too bad. He played three snaps in the first half of the Giants game.
He didn't play at all in the first quarter.
Right. So that's how you have to look at it.
Yeah, good point.
50, if there's 50 snaps and he only played 11, that's not a lot.
No.
We'll talk some Bruins hockey, and we'll give away some Bruins tickets coming up next. 617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran just after 1 o'clock. Dale and Keefe with Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEEI. Caller number 9 to 617-931-0937 scores a pair of tickets to see the Bruins take on Toronto Tuesday night at the TD Garden. Don't forget to visit the brand new Pro Shop, powered by 47. Shop a variety of authentic team merchandise, customized apparel, and exclusive garden items. Caller number 9, 617-931-0937 wins.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
But it's all about what you see on the ice and what you see out of him as a player. Guys get knocked off the puck. The intimidating factor is no longer there anymore. Offensively, he gives you absolutely nothing. Defensively, he can't clear the puck out of the zone. When he has the puck, he's always getting knocked off. And he does one thing. He tries to flip the puck to center ice. That's what he does. That's what he gives you. He is your sixth best defenseman.
Now, in Wiggy's defense, that was last year. That was not based on still how the team has played so far this year. Because Zdeno Chara has been great so far this year. And the Bruins sit here at 5-1. Now, they were off completely yesterday. No practice, no nothing. We'll find out today what the status is of David Krejci, who left the game Saturday with some kind of an upper body injury described by Bruce Cassidy. And we'll find out if Krejci's going to be out or
and
not.
What, he missed one game last year, Krejci?
They sat him out intentionally to rest him.
Right, so he had a healthy season last year, already started a little bit banged up, and so that's something to watch because that line, with or without him, doesn't seem to be very productive.
Right.
They're scoring with one line.
That's it.
Kind of, again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it doesn't look like anything has changed as far as, and now that still took them pretty far. It took them, you know, they were that close to winning the whole thing. But you wonder if they can get by again this year with just having three guys score and they all happen to play together.
Well, no, because that's ultimately what hurt them in the postseason last year.
Last 2 years.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and then the question is that here's one of my famous line combinations that I threw out there.
Go ahead.
In the world that we're, Bruins world, is I would maybe move Coyle up to the first line, play right wing, move Pasternak to the second line, and play him next to Krejci.
I would definitely move Pasternak down. Because we've seen the song and dance. These guys are incredible in the regular season, and then playoff time, they go up against a team that can shut that line down, and then you've got no scoring.
And I feel like you have two solid lines if you were to do that.
Yeah,
and Coyle plays well those first liners.
I don't hate it.
I mean, I think in the long run, that may well happen. It's early, and what I think Bruce Cassidy is counting on is these other guys getting going. Jake DeBrusk has been so close and has just missed scoring. Now, Krejci may be hurt. I don't know what his situation is.
Yeah, that's tough.
I mean, the problem here is you're not getting secondary scoring yet, but maybe Cassidy's saying, you know, we're six games into the season. Let's let them get their skates under them. Ultimately, you may end up breaking them up. Boy, just for the entertainment value alone, I love seeing those guys play together.
Oh, it's fun. It's good, and unfortunately, it hasn't resulted in, you know, winning the whole thing with that group, because that is one of the best lines. But,
right,
you know, you've seen, you know, teams around the league don't always just take their three best players and put them together, because this can be what happened. They need somebody else to step up, and maybe you're right, Dale. Maybe it is Jake DeBrusk, but I don't know.
But
I don't know if it is him.
He struggled last year in the postseason.
Yeah, he did big time.
Playing next to Krejci. So you got to – it's about finding – What we've seen with these two teams, what we've seen with this team, it's about finding that secondary scoring, right?
Right.
Last year, it's so, where's the scoring coming from? You're getting it from your third and fourth liners, but you're not getting it from your first liners.
That was like, last year, you had three 30-goal scorers. They all played together.
Right.
And then you didn't even have a 20-goal scorer after that.
Right.
You know, David Krejci was fourth on the team. He had 17 goals. So, I mean, it's a big jump. A big fall off from those top guys. And so, again, it's not an easy decision for Cassidy, because you say, look how successful they are. And in the regular season, you could probably pile up a lot of wins, because those guys are going to score 2-3 goals. It seems like almost a game between the three of them. I mean, that's what it feels like, especially when you're throwing the power play. And even if you don't get the scoring from other guys, you're still going to win games. But I just don't think you want to be trotting this out in the postseason again, because we've already seen it play out.
It appears, at least early on, and it's very early in the season, Tuukka Rask has picked up where he was in the playoffs last year. From the regular season to the playoffs, he took his game to the next level, and he seems to have picked up where he was in the playoffs last year.
But I don't think anybody – I think the whole Tuukka can't win a Stanley Cup narrative, don't you feel like that's gone? The way
hasn't yet. So for some people, it's going to be there till they put his name on the cup.
He hasn't. But when you start to look at reasons why they haven't won a Stanley Cup, I don't think Tuukka's in the conversation. I think Tuukka's
fine.
He's good enough to be a Stanley Cup goalie for your team, winning goalie for your team. He's not the issue.
Let me correct myself. Those were stats from 2 years ago. Last year, Jake DeBrusk did have 27 goals.
He did, yeah.
So he did have that. But it was still, you're the three.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
30 goal scorers, and in fact, if Pasternak doesn't hurt himself, he would have been a 40 goal scorer. So it was those guys that had it. So I guess that's the question: could Jake DeBrusk do what he did last year or more? Can he add to that total and give you a consistent second line score?
And
that's the big question.
And I do think Charlie Coyle, although snake bit, I think he's going to be a 20 to 30 goal guy as well. I think he's
they put him on the right line. I think
even if he's not on that line, he has the ability.
But it makes it easier if you put him next to Bergeron and Marchand on the first line, or even if you decide to throw him on the second line.
I think the problem that Bruce Cassidy faces here is he's done that from time to time, and it hasn't been the same. I mean, you know, you stick Pasternak with Krejci, and you know they're both supremely talented. You think it's going to work. It doesn't. He sticks the perfection line back together again, and it's magical again.
I feel like when Krejci's had the most success in his career, too, it's when he's had big fours playing with him, you know, whether it was Lucic or Horton.
Coyle, for instance, would fit with Krejci.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Put Coyle on the second line. When I look at him as a player, I feel like sometimes he's getting wasted on your third line, but you could because you have a hole in your second line right wing, And I think he fits it. We've seen him play right wing before. We know he could play center, but we've seen him play right wing, and he's done a good job there. That's where I would put him, even if it is on the second line. I'll take that.
6-1. And by the way, we're sitting here complaining about a team that's 5-1 and has played good opponents.
We're complaining about the Patriots.
No, I know. It's the same way. But that's the thing is I think they changed a lot of people's expectations of how far they got last year. And you're saying this is great, but why will it be different?
Is it not, in your opinion, in your minds, it's Stanley Cup or bust, right? Winning it?
Sure.
Yeah, when you're that close from a year ago, you bring back
one win away,
Right. So I think everybody's back, basically.
So every single game, every single move that they make is going to be scrutinized because everybody around here expects them to win the Stanley Cup this year.
And they'll play the team tomorrow night who most people think is the favorite to win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Tampa Bay comes to town tomorrow night. 617-779-7937. Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston, just after 1 o'clock. Wiggy's in the house with Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.